Welcome to the Life of a Gentleman podcast, the number one podcast to learn about the hottest men's fashion and grooming brand. We interview the brand owners so you get the inside story. We'll also discuss fashion, business, and entrepreneurship, and all things gentlemen. Whether you're looking to advance your career, increase your style, or just discover the best new products, you're in the right place. And now, here's your host, award-winning author, entrepreneur, and business owner, Richard Taylor. Hey, Rich. Let's start the show.
Thanks for that introduction and welcome back, guys, to another edition of the Life of a Gentleman podcast. I am so glad you joined us today. We have an action-packed show. I really think you're going to like it. We're touching on every single subject that we preach about every week: business, entrepreneurship, and fashion. So stay tuned. First up, we have Dennis with the style tip of the week. We are going to be talking with him, but also we're joined by a guest, Mohammed. And Mohammed is an avid fan of Brooks Brothers and Polo, and you are going to find out how he can get those amazing deals. If you're trying to step up your wardrobe, you definitely want to tune in. Also, a couple great guests this week. In the field of entrepreneurship, we will be talking with somebody who owns their own digital marketing agency. That is Jose from Smart Local Digital. If you want to increase sales, if you want to find out how you can boost your social following, definitely stay tuned. Last but not least, we have some more fashion and business for you with Sebastian from Mark Nolan Shoes. If you don't know about Mark Nolan Shoes, you are going to want to stay tuned. They have looks that I guarantee you will blow your mind. They look like they are about $400 a pair. Sebastian has found a way to make these affordable for the everyday guy. So if you're somebody who loves fashion, if you love shoes, if you really want to turn some heads, you don't want to miss that as well. Also, before we get started, if you're looking to start your own business, if you have an idea that's going on in your head, but you really don't know how to do it, or maybe you've kicked it around for a while and you haven't gotten started, here's a little motivation for you. It's a free book. It's called From Idea to Income: 5 Reasons You Need a Side Hustle. That's our free gift to you just for tuning in. You can get your free copy at www.thegentway.com. Get your free copy of the book. I really think you'll enjoy it. And speaking of enjoy it, this episode is action-packed. Guys, let's get started. I'm not going to waste any more time. Let's go.
Hey, gents, let's take a minute and talk some style and fashion. Our guest expert heats up social media with style and definitely can help us enhance our fashion sense. Whether we're a beginner or a style expert, we can always learn more. The style tip of the week is up next. Let's talk fashion, baby.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Life of a Gentleman. You know, we talk about fashion, we talk about business and lifestyle, and today we're going to blend a little bit of the two between fashion and lifestyle because we have somebody on the line that is a very dapper gentleman, and he is also somebody who has some tips that he can share on how you can get started if you're on a budget or if you're looking for name brand clothing, and if you just want to have a little fun on the weekends as well. Welcome to the show, Mohammed. And also, Dennis is on the line with us. But Mohammed, tell us a little bit about yourself and what you're going to talk about today.
Hey, guys. It's Mohammed Ellendorf from Pennsylvania. I'm going to be talking about thrifting and how to look, you know, in good shape, in a clean shape, on a really, really low budget. We're going to talk about that, what the cons, what the pros about it. Let's see what's going to happen.
Wow, that's good to know, man, because let's face it, we all love to shop and save at the same time. Let me ask you a question, Mo. When you talk about thrifting, is there something that you look for in a specific store or items that attract you to it? Like, for example, do you look for items that are actually, you know, designer labels, or does that matter to you when it comes to thrifting?
Well, there's one thing in thrifting. You don't need to be rich to thrift. That's something that has nothing to do with thrifting. Sometimes you're looking for something really, really rare, and it's not available on retail stores. Like, you know, those like vintage, like ties, for example. I'm a big sucker for those. So the first thing I get into any thrift store, right away I ask, where's your tie rack? And I go there and I start digging.
Yeah, you know what? You're right. I'm somebody who likes antiques as a whole in general, and I'm also a sucker for vintage ties. I have a pretty good collection. You know what? You can find some things, like you said. I think one of the keys you mentioned is these things aren't in retail, so you can't find them anymore. You have like pretty much a one-of-a-kind item when you really get in there and start digging and thrifting.
That's the thing about it. You look really, really distinguished when you wear something no one has it before. Yes, it's cheap. Yes, it's probably outdated to the regular trend or hype now. But hey, it's dapperness. It's like, it's how you look unique and well-maintained without being, you know, like showing off.
Yeah, now that's the key, Mo. You said it's distinguished. Now, it's probably a piece that nobody has, which kind of gives it an extra, you know, oh my God, I just got a piece, and I don't think anybody's going to have this. So that's what you look for every time you shop. That's why thrifting is so positive and important if you do it the right way. A lot of people don't want to wear stuff that has been worn before. You know, how do you go about kind of like separating the two?
You got to be careful. I mean, it's a thrift store, so it's not going to be all like, it's been used, right? And not everyone kept their hygiene the same level of you keeping yourself, right? So you're going to see a lot of like really, really in bad shape items. Those I would recommend you stay away from them, even if you want to like dry clean them. Try to find something clean and try to compromise. Like, yes, if you even like see something really good and you start drooling and you want to get it, but then like, hey, there's a lot of stains on it, or like there's a rip on it, stay away from it, because the last thing you want to get is like some eczema or like some bad thing on your skin. It's not really clean and it's not really like in good shape. Stay away from it. If this goes, you're going to see a lot of them in the future, because, you know, a lot of people will keep thrifting, keep recycling their wardrobe. So you're going to see more like, you know, fancy stuff, really good stuff, but they're like really beaten. Stay away from those. You don't need them.
Yeah, that's a great point. Don't waste a lot of time. There's always going to be something else that can wow you down the line. You know, it's kind of funny. Me and my brother used to do a lot of thrifting back in the day, and we would go in and immediately start digging around and just specifically look for two brands, which were Polo and Brooks Brothers only. And we would kind of make it a contest who could find the most Polo items or Brooks Brothers items. Because the thing is, what we would do is either if we didn't want them ourselves, we could resell them online, because there's people that are passionate about those brands. Are you finding that people are still letting go some of the great classic Americana brands at these thrift stores?
Oh boy, oh boy. Brooks Brothers, I see a lot of them and I love them. You can probably, if you check my Instagram, you're gonna see like probably 99% of my posts will have at least one item from Brooks Brothers. We support American goods, right? So Brooks Brothers for me is a good brand. It's a very, very nice brand. So finding these items in the thrift store is like, wow, this is what I'm looking for. But I don't want to buy anything beaten again. So yes, there's a lot of Brooks Brothers ties or shirts, but they're like overused, because, you know, they're good things, good brand, and people use them for like many, many years and don't let go until like they're done, like they're like wearless anymore. You cannot really wear them. You gotta be careful with that again. Yes, it's a brand name, but not in a good shape. So don't spend money on that.
Yeah, that's totally true, my friend. Let me ask you one more question, Mo. Now, with thrifting, is it very important for you to separate, like, at least wear newer stuff and then combine it with thrifting? So how the outfit has a little bit of an edgy look to it, but it's also classic. Is that something you like to do? Because I noticed it in some of your pictures.
Yeah, first of all, my rule when thrift is I rarely buy something that's going to touch my skin. So what I'm going to buy, probably ties, pocket squares, like blazers and jackets, but I'm not going to buy something that's going to be directly on my skin. It's me, personally. I don't know if people can do it. Good for them if they can do that. I cannot do it myself. Even with the stuff I'm buying, like I dry clean them twice, like send them to dry clean and ask the lady there, could you please like do it twice on them, just because, you know, you don't know the source, like who used them before. When it comes to my house and they already double dry clean, I feel safe to mix them with the other items, like, you know, even like cleanliness wise and also like fashion wise. So you go with really high end, like Brooks Brothers jacket with a really thrifty, like old school pattern of a tie, right? Boom, it's like you get something that no one will have, no one will think about, like different colors, pink, yellow, orange, green. Mix that with really subtle, kind of like dark tone blazers or shirt. Just get a pop. And no one will think this is a $2 tie. People will be like, wow, you spent probably probably $10 on that site, which I think retail price probably that's the price.
Yeah, you made a great point, because people are concerned about bringing stuff home from thrift stores, you know, maybe getting bed bugs or something else that you don't want. So the double dry clean was actually an eye opener. I mean, I usually dry clean the items, but a double dry cleaning just to be safe. How did you come up with that? Is that something just that made you feel comfortable, or did you do some research online to find out that's what should be done?
Well, I think it's more of a common sense. It's something you don't know the source. Yet it looks clean, but you don't have that, you know, microscopic eye to see what's going on there, right? So hopefully going through the heat twice with all those chemicals and stuff, well, hopefully we'll clean it up, right? I mean, I think I came up with that. It's like double dry clean it. Hopefully with that will make it really clean.
All right, I totally agree. I think pretty much in a nutshell is the way fashion is going now, where everything is, you know, retro and everything is vintage and old school. It kind of makes sense to tap into that whole, you know, buying stuff either in stores or stuff that you could find for low cost to complement some of the pieces that you already have at home.
I mean, that's the point. You don't want to spend 4 digits on an outfit while you probably can spend like $100 on a sport coat from a retail store. But you don't want to pay $50, $70, or $100 on a tie or like a boxwear. Well, you can improvise and just stop by one of those thrift stores, and you're gonna find a lot of good gems. It's eye-opening how people can give up some really good stuff without knowing there's a good value in them. The only justification for it is like people have really good deeds and they want to give up back to the community, which is I'm very welcoming that.
So, Muhammad, when it comes to finding some socks and shoes at thrift stores, you're out, huh?
Yeah. Oh, no. No way. No way. If I don't see the tag on them, I'm not buying them.
Rich, I got to be honest with you. I'm not much of a clothes drifter. I like the accessories, like mostly pocket watches or a bandana, you know, something that's more vintage or retro.
I think Muhammad hit the nail on the head when he said nothing that touches your skin is a safe way to go. I know on my thrifting adventures, a lot of times I'm looking for things just kind of knickknacks to decorate the office. And some of my favorite finds have been vintage cufflinks. And like you said, a pocket watch, you can find things like that. So you can have actually a really good time and go with a friend and make an afternoon of it. And then maybe go out and get a drink, get something to eat afterwards, kind of just talk about some of the treasures you found.
You know, the good thing about it is you go to the thrift store, you don't know what you're getting. It's like not you going to the outlet or to the mall. I'm like, okay, I'm going to go to Ralph Lauren store and buy that polo, because you know the second you left your house, you're going to go and get that shirt, right? But when you go to the thrift store, like Wonderland, it depends on what you're going to find. It's like I'm in Alice in Wonderland, right? And you don't know what the adventure you're going to see. You may come back home with empty-handed, or you go come back home with 50 ties. And I did it. I bought one, like, I think I bought 15 ties in the same time. And I was, like, so proud of myself. I paid only $15 for that.
Hey, Muhammad, do us a favor before we close out. Let everybody know how they can follow you, check out your style, so we can see what you're doing on Instagram. Let everybody know.
Yeah, so I have my main Instagram, which is Muhammad Al-Nadal, and this is all about fashion. And I post daily my outfit for work. I'm available on Instagram all the time.
Well, sounds good, my friend. It's good to meet you, and hopefully we'll chat again.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Muhammad. Thanks for your time. Thanks for the great tips. And Dennis, thank you as always as well.
Now it's time for the Entrepreneur Spotlight. Real professionals, real business owners, and entrepreneurs drop in and drop jewels on us. Looking to learn from others that have done it? Ready to get your business really rolling? Sit back and buckle up. Our experts are ready to inspire. Let's go.
Hey guys, welcome back to my favorite segment of the show, where we talk to a business owner, somebody that's actually doing it, because a lot of us out here want to get involved with business. And today we have the pleasure of speaking with a gentleman that definitely can help us do just that and really take our business to the next level. So let's give a welcome to Jose from Smart Local Digital. How's it going today, Jose?
Hey, it's going well, man. It's going well. Today is a day where I'm at a good energy. There's those days that are down energy, but today's up energy, man. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, glad to have you on. And it's always good to have the sun shining, a lot of energy and being productive. It sounds like you're a busy guy. You have a lot going on. So why don't you go ahead and just tell us, you know, what is Smart Local Digital? What's that all about? And we'll sit back and listen.
Yeah, awesome, man. Thank you. I am somewhat busy. I always feel like I'm not busy enough, but I think that's just the characteristic flaws of a motivated person. You never feel like you're doing enough. But Smart Local Digital is a online marketing company that helps local businesses market themselves online. And really where that came from was two places. I grew up in a small family business, male family. My dad had a janitorial business. All my aunts and uncles and godparents had landscaping and salons and all that stuff. And I really, that was kind of bred into doing your own thing, playing by your own rules, making your own kind of opportunities, and that kind of came along with that. And then that opened my eyes a lot to the small business owner mentality and how they really need to be careful in where they spend their money and who they partner up with. That then also married with the fact that a lot of small businesses don't know what's going on online. It's really difficult for them to learn the online marketing strategies and tactics while they're busy running a business, you know, while they're busy running a coffee shop or a barber shop, whatever the case is. They're becoming experts in their industry, and online marketing is just leaving them behind. So that's kind of where it all started. We have a handful of local clients. We also work with clients in different states, different countries, a lot of virtual stuff, virtual meetings, virtual conference rooms, all that good stuff. But yeah, we really try to specialize in removing all the noise for online and helping a local business leverage local online marketing tactics, local SEO, ratings and reviews, the citations, email marketing, Facebook marketing, all that good stuff, you name it. So that's kind of a high level of what we're doing over here.
No, I appreciate you kind of overviewing that for us, because there's a lot of people, like I mentioned, that listen to the show. They have a new business. They're just getting started. And they might be wondering, why is it important to get involved locally? Because it is a global market now. You can ship products anywhere. But, you know, some people forget that you can really dig in the trenches there locally and make a difference. So why is that so important?
You're right. Absolutely right. I mean, the local market, it's great for two reasons. One, it's a great starter to learning how to deal globally, right? Because the same concerns, the same questions, the same objections you're going to face at the global level, you're going to find at the local level as well when you start dealing with customers and clients. So I know you mentioned you get a lot of people who are starting their own brands or, you know, retail, et cetera. If you start, you know, working at the local level with people face to face, selling on products, showing your branding, et cetera, you could almost use it as a test market and see kind of what people are talking about, what they like, what they don't like. And so when you're ready to, you know, tackle it online and then start getting those global questions, that customer service issues, you've already been dealt with it. So it's really, really important for that. And especially, you know, everything is for sure going online, but there's a lot of people out there who still want that retail experience or want to build out a retail experience. And it's important, again, if you do it at the local level, you'll really start learning that. But that's one thing that we really help out with our local customers, is let them know, this is what you're doing at the local level. Let us show you how you can do it online, and you can actually touch more people in your local area, right? Because as a local business, you could all, you know, you get 25, 50 people walk through the door, but there's 5,000 people that live in your area. So how do you get them locally? Well, you tag locations on Instagram, you tag locations on Facebook, you tag local customers on Facebook, and then that way their local fans and family see it, and then they come through your door. So it's pretty interesting how you can leverage digital marketing, online marketing, and scale it even at the local level, and pretty much dominate your local area online, and that just helps out.
Yeah, it certainly won't hurt.
Exactly.
You know, one of the things that you do also that I'm a big supporter of, really, is email marketing. And a lot of small business owners, man, they overlook that tremendously. And I'd love for you to speak on that and the power of email marketing, because I don't want anybody to miss out on this opportunity.
Yeah, no, email marketing is important because it's easier to sell someone who already knows you rather than someone cold, right? And usually if you're getting someone's email, they know you some way or another. Whether they stumbled on your website and give your email, either way, there's a branding, there's an opt-in that they like, it was not interesting enough to give your email, or it was a customer that walked into your door and gave you their email for a discount or whatever the case may be. So that's a great way to upsell. Also, email now comes directly to our phone just like any text message would. So people are checking their emails more consistently now. You do have, you know, like Gmail that filters things out and puts things to a social promotion tab rather than, you know, your general inbox. So now it's for us as business owners to then step up our game to say, okay, we have to make sure that our email is providing value and our email is actually something that people would want to stay tuned with. And that's where you can really dig into your business and think, okay, what can I provide that's valuable? What can I provide that's informational that people are going to actually look forward to receiving my email? So people can put their hat on and think, okay, where in my sales funnel can I provide value that I can then represent through email? But there's a statistic that says customers that get emails spend an average of 138% more than a customer who doesn't get an email. And so that's a huge number. And the reason why is because you're constantly engaging with them. You're staying top of mind with them. You know, you can keep giving them, bringing them back for more and more. So definitely use it. And it's affordable. You know, MailChimp is a free software. There's other ones that are cheaper than that. So if you're not leveraging that, then, you know, you might want to reevaluate your marketing.
Yeah, great point. Great tips. Makes a lot of sense. One extra question in regards to email marketing. How much is too much? You know, I subscribe to a lot of brands, newsletters, and stores, you know, Macy's, Banana Republic, stuff like that. Seems like they email me pretty much every other day. Sometimes, some of them almost every day. And maybe it just feels like it, but I really think they do. Can you speak to that?
Yeah, sometimes it does feel like they're bombarding you with it. For the bigger chains, you know, the Macy's and all that stuff, I think they can get away with that, right? Because for them, if they're blasting it out there and if they're getting 10% conversion rate on that, then they're making millions and millions of dollars. For the local people, I think it's really just, again, keeping your mindset on, like, is this email valuable? Is this something that I do want to share with them or that I find interesting? I would probably say starting once a month is okay, maybe twice a month, and kind of test it out and see where it goes. Once a week can get a little too heavy, especially if you're, you know, a smaller business. Do you really have something once a week to share? Maybe not. Someone like yourself, if you have a weekly podcast, then maybe one email a week works, right? Because now you're sharing an episode a week, and it's something that's valuable, and your fan base will enjoy that because maybe they want to keep up to date with what's the latest podcast, what's the latest guest, et cetera. So to start it off, I would say rule of thumb, like once a month, twice a month, and then kind of gauge it as you go. And, you know, one thing is ask your customers, ask your audience, and get some feedback. Here's two little quick tips regarding email. One thing is leverage it to get your ratings and reviews up, right? So once a quarter, once every 6 months, reach out to your email list and say, hey, if you really enjoyed the experience, like we've enjoyed it, we love working with you, please give us a rating and review, and that will, you know, help you climb up the ladder in your ratings and reviews. And the second, you can start getting fancy with email too and get those email addresses, ingest them into Facebook, and then cross-reference, add those people, start serving them ads, and now you're staying engaged with them on the social side when you grab those emails, and then now it's not so spammy itself, you know, through the email. So really creative ways to kind of go around those ways as well.
Appreciate those extra tips too. Just by talking to you, we can tell you're an expert, definitely a resource that a business owner needs to tap into. So what's the process like working with Smart Local Digital? I understand you're based in California, but if you're a listener and you're in somewhere else around the country, are we still able to work with you, and can you tap into our local market?
So I'm based in Northern California. We have clients in Southern California. We have clients in Canada. So we kind of go all over the place because it's a lot of, you know, we leverage the virtual tools that are at our disposal. And so the way that happens is we really become experts in your local market area through you. The way it usually works is someone stumbles on our site, sees our content, sees our podcast, sees me promoting, and they reach out, and then we schedule a call. And, you know, obviously there's a discovery call. We kind of figure you out, see if it's a good fit. We are selective in who we work with. A lot of people started calling us like a boutique agency because we only take two major clients on a month, and that's for us to give them the best service possible. If, you know, things move forward and we're getting rock and roll, then usually we have what we call an onboarding call. And on that onboarding call is when we really start becoming experts in your local market and in your business, because we ask those questions that I've had clients of mine say, I hadn't thought of this area of my business in a long time, or you're asking me these questions that I just forgot about, and it gets them re-energized in their business. It gets them to peel back the curtain on their business that they, you know, you get lost in the day-to-day and you kind of forget the vision and the goal. So when we kind of come in, we start extracting out that information, gets them all energized up and ready to roll, and that helps us learn their business and their local market area. And we ask those key questions for the local market that we need to know as far as demographics and what's around them, et cetera. So yeah, it's definitely a learning process. And, you know, a lot of the strategies are the same, but when we try to find that unique opportunity within those local markets.
Yeah, that's wonderful to know that you give your clients a lot of attention, because, you know, I'm somebody that's been in business for a while. I've worked with media agencies, and sometimes it can be a rough experience, but sometimes the firm is just too large, you know, and they're just taking on so many people at once. They really can't pay you the attention you need to get lost in the shuffle. But sounds like you guys are really hands-on with your people. You work with them, you take the time to develop and get to know their business, and then put a plan together.
I mean, don't get me wrong, it's easier said than done, right? Because as a business owner, you want to capture as much, you know, bags as possible, right? You want to close as many clients as possible. But, you know, there is definitely times that we had our moments of stepping back and saying, okay, we can't at the moment. Let's figure out a way to tell them, hey, you know, we really want to work with you guys, but you're going to have to wait until the beginning of next month. Because in order for us to provide the service we need to provide to our existing clients, we need to give them the time of day. And you'll be surprised how many business owners understand that, right? And they it's like what you're saying, they really appreciate that. And we've rarely lost anyone who's willing to wait. If we do have someone who's not willing to wait, and they're willing to say, okay, you know, we're going to spend a little bit more to rush this, then obviously we shift priorities and we adjust. But for us, it's better for the business. And at the end of the day, it's the reputation of the business.
Makes perfect sense. I like your approach to it. I mean, the fact that you guys can pretty much work with anyone is also a bonus, no matter where the location is. So if there's somebody listening right now, and I recommend they get in touch with you, but how can they do that? How can they follow you on social media? And let us know the website so we can get on there and see all the options that you guys offer.
Yeah, the website, we're really transparent. You can go in and you'll find our price list. And on that price list, we have a detail of these are the services and this is what you get at each tier, at each level, because we have a basic plan up to an advanced plan. And then we do custom plans for people as well. So yeah, go check out the website. That's smartlocaldigital.com. Everything else is pretty much Smart Local Digital. On Instagram, we're at Smart Local Digital. Twitter, I believe it's at Smart Local DIG. So that as well. Facebook is one of our biggest platforms for the business. So that's facebook.com/smartlocaldigital. And then if you follow me on my personal, that's Jay Quiroz. That's JayQuiroz on Instagram. You'll find a lot of, you know, links to the business as well on there.
All right, Jose, we appreciate it. We appreciate your time. And guys, definitely get in touch with Jose, because his company is something that can really take your business to the next level. You have to invest, you know, when you're starting a small business, don't be afraid to invest, because that really is what can get you some expansion. So Jose, thank you once again for coming on the show. We look forward to keeping in touch and seeing what you have next.
And now it's time for this week's segment of the Gentleman's News. Exclusive interviews with exceptional people discussing all things gentleman, from business to fashion to lifestyle, industry leaders, authors, and more. This is the Gentleman's News.
Hey guys, welcome back to the podcast. This is my favorite part of the show. You know, we get to talk to somebody who's doing amazing things in the world of business and fashion. And today, I have the pleasure of welcoming somebody to the show. I want to introduce Sebastian. He is from a new company. They do men's shoes. I'm telling you guys, this is my favorite new shoe brand, and I think it will be yours too. Welcome, Sebastian from Mark Nolan Shoes. Welcome to the show.
Welcome, Richard, and I'm glad to be a part of the show.
Glad to have you on. Now, you know, I kind of set the table and told everybody that your shoes are amazing, and they truly are. But the funny thing is, Sebastian actually sold my wife a pair of shoes. You know, she was out of town in Chicago, and she was nice enough to be shopping for me, and she bumped into the store, and when she sent me a picture of the shoes, I was blown away. So, Sebastian, I'll let you take it from there how that went, but let me tell you, that was the most perfect gift I have ever received.
Yes, actually, that usually happens, like the women buying gifts for guys. So that was one example of it. And your wife of 10, she said she's looking for a gift for you. She said that it's hard for her to buy because usually what she likes, you don't like. So I told her, let's reverse that and let me pick the style for you. And then if you don't like it, then you're going to like it. So she said, that's fine, let's do that. And then I think what happened is she sent you a couple of photos of my picks, and then she said that you actually love them. The shoe she bought it for you, that was my first choice. She was looking at something else, but I said, I think this is going to be a better choice for you. If I can say exactly words, you said that you were drooling over it. That's a done deal. Let's conquer this. You got that. So she said, like him. And I told her that, you know, if you like, I took your email address, and if anything, you can shop more and look at some more of our inventory. I gave her the website.
Yeah. You know, that was great. I was so excited to share what I found. And you know what? Both of us are big on supporting small business, especially when we go to another city. Let's dive into the shoes, the products, because I want people to really understand what they get when they step into a pair of Mark Nolan shoes. I believe you guys offer everything to hand-painted shoes. Now, can you speak to that a little bit, the wide variety of styles that you guys offer?
Yeah, so actually the hand-painted is something very new. This is from our new collection, Spring-Summer 2018. And then usually the hand-painting shoes, you can only find them when you buy shoes in the high-end department stores for like $300, $400. And nobody else offers that. So that's kind of my test, see how they're gonna go. I offer, I think, four or five styles of the hand painted. It's called, in Italy, it's called patina effect. So they have that kind of rustic look to it. And it takes special, you know, artisans to do that. It's like hand painted with a brush and sponge and make that rustic look to it. To be honest with you, we have those shoes on the shelf and on the website for the past 20 weeks. And we sold quite a few pairs already. So everybody who comes in is kind of very impressed with it. Product, because usually you expect to see price like for like $350, $400, and we offer the shoes from, I believe it's $115, $125, and we have a couple lace-ups, I believe it's two styles of loafers and one sneaker and that.
Yeah, really amazing styles and so many. I mean, you guys had boots, Oxfords, slip-ons, loafers. The list went on and on. When I got on the website, I thought to myself, you know what? I'm going to have to replace a lot of shoes in my collection with Mark Nolan.
I don't want to take all of your money. I want to just take a little bit of it.
Yeah, you know, that's the thing. When you find something that's good, you know, I'm the kind of guy, I dive in. But you know what? How did you come up with starting your own shoe brand? Because that's a really bold business move. I mean, it's not something everybody can do and just say, you know what, I want to sell shoes and have my own company. So how did you come up with this?
Yeah, this is kind of a long story. Back in probably, I would say, 2008. So originally, I was selling women's, men's, and kids' shoes for quite a few years, working with several different factories and brands. But I always find a niche in the men's shoe department because I always admire those high-end shoes, but the price tag was like $300, $400. I could never afford it. And I've seen the shifting in my business. I was selling more and more men's shoes because it's harder to find good quality men's shoes for $100. Around that price. So for the past couple of years, I've been trying to work with different factories to find the best ones who can offer the best quality for money. Continue the story. My girlfriend, we found out that she's pregnant. I've decided that this is time to do only men's shoes. And I named the company after my son, which is Nolan. And Mark is my business partner. So it took me like lots of sleepless nights and probably she hated for me because I was sitting on a computer thinking. And I came up with Mark Nolan, and so he was born. We developed the first like line of shoes, and then that was, I think, a year ago.
No, but you know what? It makes perfect sense, and I really can appreciate it myself. I did the same thing. I named my company after my son as well. So great minds think alike.
Yeah, I guess, right? I think I was thinking about it, like, I have to leave something for him, you know, and then I hope he's going to grow in, he's going to love shoes too, and keep continuing growing the company out. But ideally what happened is, when I was back in days of selling women's, men's, and kids, I always seen that there is so many women's boutiques and women's shoes in several different department stores and small shops, but there is nothing really for guys who really like, you know. And then I look at me as an example. When I want to get nice shoes, I need to pay like $300. Why we need that? So I traveled the world, I'll be honest with you. I did some research, and I worked with several different factories, and I think that we offer very good products for a very good price. I would say that our entry level is competing. I'm not going to name any other brands, but I would say premium and department store shoes we offer for a fraction of the price.
You know what? You're exactly right. Because initially I was drooling over the shoes, but in the back of my mind I was thinking, man, my wife is about to spend $400 on some shoes for me. And last time I went out of town, I didn't spend $400 on her. I got to step it up. I was nervous. So.
Yeah, you were nervous probably. It was like, if you spend $400, you would never reach out to me.
Yeah, so you know what? The fact that you guys are able to offer these shoes at an affordable price is really the most amazing part for me, because the quality is outstanding. I'm somebody who's very particular about shoes. I need my shoes to be very comfortable and stylish. And you're right, I have spent $200-$300 on shoes because it's the only way you can get certain styles. Now you're able to bring this to the marketplace now. What's the response been of people that have found you online or have even walked into your store? They're pretty surprised, I take it.
They're pretty surprised, and I to be honest, because I had the store over here for like almost a year, so I see some people walking by the window and they don't even feel like to commit, because they see the shoes on the display, they think that the price like is like $350 or, you know, $300, and they're like, oh, I never want to really come in here because I think that those shoes are too expensive for me. And they very, very surprised when they look in. It's only $100. I'm like, yeah, it is. So they're like, okay, let me grab a couple of pairs then. So that's what usually the case is. And the reason why I can also provide this price, because we are family-run business, so I don't have big overheads. I'm trying to sell thousands of shoes in the future. My goal is literally offer good shoes, not necessarily make a lot of money on it, but have every average guy to be able to afford good quality shoes for fraction of the price.
It makes 100% perfect sense. We were chatting before, and I let you know about Harrison Blake Apparel, and that we do neckties and things like that, and we package everything for a very affordable price. And sometimes, you know, I ask you that because sometimes people are skeptical of the quality. They're like, are your ties any good? Or, I mean, how can you sell it for this price? And that's the same thing with the shoes. You know, I'm kind of glad I'm kind of glad my wife didn't tell me they were $125 roughly dollars, because then I would have been more skeptical and almost questioned it. Is it real leather? Is it this? You know, you start picking it apart. But I mean, speak to the quality of your products, the materials and things like that that go into it, just to let everybody know this is very high quality. You're just being fair with the price.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and that's it. As you just said, some people, when you see $100 price tag, they have a suspicion that maybe that's not a right quality shoe. Like, I had some people who became my clients after a while, and they say, I thought that this is not a great quality. I couldn't, you know, because of the price wasn't that great what you usually spend, it underestimated my product. And then they bought one pair and it kept coming back, and they dropped going to, you know, Nordstrom and spent $300 for shoes. They come back to me and buy shoes for me. But at the beginning they were kind of skeptic that $400 is probably not the best shoe, and they were very, very surprised, which makes me happy that I can provide something and, you know, have people surprised at what they're getting for the money they pay up here.
Yeah, that's a great feeling when you prove the doubters wrong. Now, let everybody know where you're located, and also if they can order them online, and what's the ordering online process like?
Just before I get into location, our shoes are full grain leather, the leather lining, leather upper. Once you get it, you'll be blown away with the quality. Now moving forward to the location. We are conveniently located in Chicago in Wicker Park. It's one of the upcoming areas. We also have a pop-up location in Hyde Park. and 53rd Street, which is a very also trendy, nice area. But if you're not from Chicago and you're not planning to come visit us over here, you can simply buy them online, marknolan.com. We offer free shipping for returns, so for any reason you don't like the product or it's too big, too small, you can just email back us and we're gonna send you the return label. Obviously, 90% of people who buy online, they I would say even more than 95%, they keep the product because they're very surprised of the quality. And if you guys have some questions, you can email me at sebastian@marknolan.com, or there is another email, help@marknolan.com, and I usually respond in emails in like 25 minutes, but then that is risk-free shopping, and you'd be very surprised with the quality. All of the shoes are full grain leather, so it's a very good product.
Yeah, it is an amazing product, Sebastian, and appreciate your time coming on. And before we go, let's also let people know how they can follow you on Instagram. They can check out a lot of the styles there. And I noticed that you can even click on the shoes right on Instagram and go directly to the website to place an order that way.
Yes. So we're very much focusing on social media. You can follow us on Instagram at Mark Nolan Shoes, or Facebook. We have Facebook page as well, Mark Nolan, and Twitter, Mark Nolan Shoes as well. So all of the social media channels, we're very active. We're trying to post on a daily basis. And on the Instagram, we're trying to help with styling. So let's say we have a pair of shoes, we're adding the outfit to it. So some people, if they're undecided, they don't know, how would I wear, let's say, pink loafers? We get the whole outfit together, so it kind of gives you an idea what can you wear it with. So we will also help some of the undecided clients. What can I wear pink loafers with? What can I wear shoes with? And we also be running blog every week, starting from last week, with fashion tips and stuff like that, and collaborating with other brands in the future.
Yeah, that sounds great. Definitely looking forward to seeing what you guys come up with next. The spring and summer collection is fabulous. Next time I am in Chicago, I will be stopping by and looking forward to it. And I'm also looking forward to getting my next pair of Mark Nolan shoes. So thank you, Sebastian, for your time on the show.
Thanks for reaching out to me again, Richard.
Not a problem. That's going to do it for this edition of the podcast. Guys, so glad you could tune in. Do us a favor, if you could you please rate, review, and even subscribe to the podcast? What that will do is really help us get this information out to other people who would be interested in it. And if you like the show, please tell a friend about it, because we want everybody to join us in this movement of the lifestyle of a gentleman. And before we close out, also want to send a big thank you to our guests today. They were so great. Dennis and Muhammad came on talking about how we can get deals, how we can do thrifting, some of the do's and the don'ts, some things we need to look out for. Definitely some great tips. Muhammad, thanks for joining us. Dennis, as always, bringing the heat. We appreciate it as well. Also, Sebastian from Mark Nolan Shoes. Guys, get on their website. They have free shipping. These guys are the real deal. Sebastian came on here, explained to us why he does what he does, how he does what he does. And you know what? If you don't see the pictures of the shoes, it won't do them justice. And trust me, I have a pair. They're my new favorite pair of shoes. Once you get a pair of Mark Nolan shoes in your wardrobe, you will be going back for more, just like I'm gonna do. So guys, definitely check out Mark Nolan shoes and support them. Last but not least, thanks to Jose for coming on from Smart Local Digital. If you have a small business and you want to capture people in your area, if you want to get them on your email list, if you want to stay in touch, find ways to get new customers walking through your door, whether it's brick and mortar or online, Jose is your guy at Smart Local Digital. You definitely want to get in touch with him. His rates are affordable. He's an expert at what he does. And I'm telling you right now, it's effective. If you have a small business, you need to get with somebody who knows marketing, because you know what? 50% of businesses fail within the first 5 years. Don't be a statistic. Get with Jose. He can help you out. Take your business to the next level. That's going to do it. Once again, if you have a show idea, or if you think you'd be a great guest, get in touch with us. You can do that on our Instagram at Gentleman's Podcast. Feel free to reach out, send a DM. We respond to everybody. We love getting the feedback. And you can also drop us a line via email, podcast@harrisonblakeapparel.com, if you're interested in doing that as well. As always, guys, until next time, take care.
These messages are brought to you by Harrison Blake Apparel,
specializing in fashion accessories such as ties, lapel pins, and much more. Join the monthly subscription club where you will receive one necktie and four accessories for $25. To learn more, visit harrisonblakeapparel.com.